James 4:7 says, "Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." I'll read that one more time. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Good evening. It's great to be up here. Kind of like what Ben Hogan said last Wednesday, as a freshman, you really want to do this, and it's really humbling to get to stand up here and get to speak to you now. Real quick, I want to thank the guys for helping me out. They're some of my best friends, especially Brock, even though he's a freshman. We're really good friends, so I just want to thank them for that. I want to thank Sweeney for putting together this and the elders for giving us this opportunity. My topic tonight is standing firm in the changing world. And I love that topic because this world changes so much. We often question whether if anything in this world stays the same. The economy changes. The government's trying to pay back debt. That affects the church. That affects your families. That affects your home. Political changes. We're going through that right now. We just had the presidential debate not too long ago. We're about to choose a new president. Communication revolution. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. I guess that's all I can think of right now. But with one click of a button, you can communicate to anybody in this world. And I think that's amazing. But at the same time, I feel like that also hurts us. That there is a deep desire for face-to-face contact at the same time. Change at work. People are working more. I didn't know that until I looked it up. But there's more people working, and they're working longer, and they're working harder than they ever have before. Some of them are going to have to start working on Sundays. Some of them already do start working on Sundays. And I think the church does a great thing with early services and other ways that they can let people come to church on Sundays, even though they do have to work. Moral collapse. This is the biggest one that's changed over the years. It's gone downhill a lot, and it's not that good of a thing. But it's something we need to work on. Each of these changes and more have an impact on the church. And this evening, I want to talk to you about a couple of these things that don't change in this world. The first one that I want to talk about is we can trust in God who does not change. God does not change. His holiness, his righteousness, his omnipresence, his omnipotence, I think I just said that wrong, and omniscience will endure forever. I want to look at a couple of verses. Malachi 3:6 says, "For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed." Hebrews 13:8 says, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever." Psalms 119:89, "Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens." 1 Peter 1:25, "The word of the Lord endures forever." Psalms 86:15, "But you, O Lord, are a great you, O Lord, are a God, merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness." Ninety 90% of the things that are found in your local supermarket or Walmart or whatever you want to call it did not exist or was not capable of buying 10 years ago. That changes. God, we see here, does not change. If God does not change, our ethics do not change. Good remains good, evil remains evil. However much of the changing in values has been drastic over the years, we sometimes appear to be like a sailor without a compass. If you turn to Matthew 22, 37 through 40. During the study of this lesson, I looked up some things, and I found this very interesting, that 46% of Australians have experimented with drugs. And I don't want to begin to talk about all the devastating things that have happened here in America with us. But it's because they've lost their morals. They've lost their way to go. If you look, Jesus was asked, which is the greatest commandment? Jesus replied, love the Lord God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. I mean, that's a great moral thing to think about. Love the Lord your God. Love your neighbor as yourself. Another thing that changes is that over the past 30 years, we have had so much information come to us that it's greater than the past 2,000 years that we've just been. That's a ton of information. That's a ton of knowledge that we did not know. But over the past 30 years, I mean, that doesn't seem that long. But yet we've learned more from those 30 years than we have the past 2,000. If God does not change, our personal accountability does not change. The attempt to evade personal accountability is so great. Turn to Genesis 3:12. And we see this since the beginning. We see people not trying to confess what they've done. We see people trying to blame it on other people. Genesis 3:12. Adam and Eve just got done eating of the fruit. God's confronted them. He's questioning them. And Adam says, the woman who you gave to be with me, she gave me the fruit of the tree and I ate it. And when Eve was confronted, she said, the serpent deceived me, and I ate. Our age has taken in a bad dip in this personal accountability. We blame so many people for the things we do, whether it's good things we do or bad things we do. We'll blame our parents. We'll blame our friends. We'll blame our teachers. We'll try and find so many things to blame instead of just owning up to what we just did. When you came into college, 50% of the people graduating with you, that job wasn't available when they were born. That means that the job that some of the jobs that you're wanting to do with for the rest of your life was not available when you were born. But yet the world changes. People change, things change, and now it's available. Fourth point for tonight is if God does not change, hope does not change. Go ahead and turn to 1 Peter 1, verse 3. We need to understand how important hope is in the scheme of things. I once heard a story. A doctor said to this man, what do you think is a contributing factor of healing? The man, not really thinking much, he answered the question pretty quickly and said, it's a good doctor. That's what helps healing. The doctor smiled, chuckled a little bit, and he said, it's actually hope. Hope gives us three things. Hope gives us something to work towards, something to hang on to, and something to look forward to. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now turn with me to Romans 5. Romans 5, verses 2 through 5. It says, through Him we have also obtained access by faith into His grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. May that we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. By reading these two passages, we gain a clear understanding of hope. Hope begins when we are born again through Jesus Christ. The world changes. People change. Things change. You might change your major. You might change your mind on something in Gano. You might change your mind on who your real friends are. People always change. Things always change. The world changes. We can't stop that. That's something that we just have to put up with. That's something that we have to go along with. God, ethics, personal accountability, and hope. Those are my four things I felt like in my life and that I see in other people's lives that stay pretty constant. We talked about all of them, and I think personal accountability is something that's really important. You don't often see that. You don't often see someone taking accountability for what they did. Growing up, I had a friend in school. He always got in trouble. He'd talk too much. He'd cheat on a test. I mean, he wasn't a good friend, but he was a friend. Yeah, all y'all have those friends too. I mean, he did so many bad things in school. The teachers would call him out and say, "Hey, you know, why are you doing that? Why'd you do that? Hey, you need to stop talking." Never once in the 4 years I knew him in high school did he ever say, "I'm sorry, that was my fault." He always sat there and blamed somebody. If he was sleeping in class, he blamed his parents. If he was cheating on a test, he blamed the teacher because she didn't teach it well. If he was talking in class, he blamed a friend who he was talking to. Sometimes he didn't even blame them, he blamed someone across the room. But we often don't realize that. We often don't take accountability for what we do. We all sin. But sometimes we don't take accountability for it. We kind of pass it off. We kind of say, "Hey, you know what? It's all right because it's that person's fault, or it's that thing's fault, or it's someone else's fault but mine. So that sin's okay." But we do that instead of taking accountability. And hope's just as important. I feel like they go hand in hand. You have all this stuff, you have all this sin in your life, and you take accountability for it because you have hope in heaven. You have hope outside of this world. This world changes, like I've already said. It changes, but heaven's going to stay the same. God's going to stay the same. Jesus will stay the same. And I'm sure some of y'all are just as tired as I am about things changing in the world and things not being the same day in and day out. I like some consistency in my life. I like to eat at Gano every night at 5:30 at the same time. And if I go some other time different, it throws my entire evening off. But one day we're going to get to do that. One day we're going to get to have some consistency in our lives. The revelation of God was full and complete in Jesus Christ. Now, that doesn't mean that our faith does not need to be re-examined or re-expressed or reapplied. Every generation needs to do that. Our challenge is to have a deeper understanding, a clearer expression, and a deeper application in the faith. There's nothing to be added or taken away. God does not change. All these things revolved around God. Since God does not change, hope does not change. Since God does not change, personal accountability does not change. If God does not change, your ethics, your morals do not change. He is the one thing that does not change in this crazy world. Turn me to Galatians 1:10. Galatians 1:10 is probably one of my favorite verses. It says, "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." man, that high school is tough. You always want to be in the cool crowd. You always wanted to do all these things just to seem to fit in. You might still do them in college. You do things that you know that aren't right. You do things that you know your parents might not approve of. You do things that you don't approve of. But it's just to fit in. And life goes on. The world is constantly changing all around us. And man is wanting us to change with it. People outside this church building are expecting you to change with the world. To step away from being a Christian because the world doesn't see that as being something that's popular. Life's tough. Nobody's ever said that life was easy. And sometimes it'll knock you down, and I really don't think you can do life by yourself. You have to have somebody else in your life that's looking out for you. But with the world constantly changing, with your friends constantly changing, that person that has to look out for you is the one person who does not change, and that's God. You need God to get through life. You need God to get to heaven. You need God to help you through all these things. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. That's my last one. This world's full of sin. It's full of doubt. It's a dark place. We read in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, "You're the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet." Pay attention in 14 through 16. "You're the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does one light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." We change, God does not change. We slip up, we'll sin, we'll change our minds, we'll change our majors, we'll change our ideas about a lot of things throughout our lives. You're going to change jobs. You're going to change a lot of other things. But the one constant thing that cannot change is God. I've said multiple times now, and I'm starting to get tired of myself saying this, but the world changes. It's getting dark. A lot of things are going down. A lot of people are starting to sin more. But he tells us that you're the light of the world and that your light can't be hidden. In verse 16, it says, "In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." You're called to be that light. We have to stand firm in a changing world. We have to stand firm for each other, but we have to stand firm for ourselves. There's a lot of things that go on. There's a lot of things that go on this campus, and it's easy to sit there and say that I'm not going to do this because I'll just do it next week. I'll do that tomorrow. It's easy to make excuses. But that's what the world's wanting. The world wants those excuses. The world wants you to be content with life and sit there and say, "Hey, my life's great. I'm not going to change anything." But God wants you to do more than that. God wants you to be that light. He wants you to be that hope in this world. So tonight, if you're struggling, if you've felt like you've been alone, if you feel like the world's changing around you and you're changing with it, if you feel like you have no other place to turn, I want you to know that this church will pray for you. This church will be here for you. And all the students will pray for you. If you come down as we stand and sing.